For such a large man, Byrne moved with amazing speed. He sprung at Avery, arms wide, and slammed him back against the locker. He locked his hands behind Avery's back and squeezed, threatening to break his ribs. As much as it hurt, Avery sucked in a breath and brought his forehead crashing down on Byrne's nose. Byrne grunted, his grip faltered, and he staggered back. In a flash, Avery ducked around behind him, belt stretched between his hands. He looped it over Byrne's neck and pulled it tight. Byrne's eyes widened. Avery wasn't trying to kill his fellow Marine, just get him under control. Byrne outweighed him by at least 20 kilos, and Avery wanted him out for the count as quickly as possible. But Byrne wasn't about to let that happen. With a strained but mighty cry, he reached over his shoulders and grabbed Avery's wrists, leaned forward and brought Avery high on his back. Then Byrne proceeded to slam Avery against the room's wooden walls with such force that the painted plywood began to splinter. Avery's teeth shuddered. He tasted blood in his mouth, but every time Byrne leaned forward for another backward thrust, Avery tightened his belt. Byrne began to wheeze. Avery could see the veins in his neck strain and his ears begin to purple. But an instant before Byrne lost consciousness, he brought the heel of his boot up between Avery's legs, right into his unprotected groin. In the few seconds before he seized up, Avery hooked a foot around Byrne's shins and tripped him onto his bed. Byrne fell short, cracked his forehead on the bed frame, and went limp. As Avery rolled him over, raised a fist to finish the job, a debilitating ache spread from his groin to his arm. Byrne's eyes blinked, trying to clear away the blood flowing from a jagged cut, and Avery threw a half-speed punch. But Byrne was only dazed. He raised a massive hand and caught Avery's fist in his iron grip.
"Why didn't you take the shot?" Byrne grunted. "They were civilians," Avery groaned.
Byrne slammed his other palm up into Avery's gut, bunching his fatigued shirt in his fist. With a powerful thrust of his hips, he flipped Avery over his shoulders and toward the barracks door. The air exploded from Avery's lungs as he landed flat on his back in the narrow hallway outside his rack.
"You had an order,"
Byrne growled, rising to his feet. Avery's chest heaved as he picked himself off the floor.
"It was a kid. A boy. What about my team?"
Byrne lumbered toward Avery and threw a high right jab, but Avery blocked it with his left forearm and countered with a powerful right-hand swipe. As Byrne's head snapped sideways, Avery brought a knee up into his kidneys, but Byrne collapsed against the blow and drove him back against the hallway wall. Avery felt his left shoulder dislocate, then pop back into place. He blinked his eyes against the pain, giving Byrne an opening. The other staff sergeant quickly throttled him around the neck.
"They taught you to be a killer, Avery. They taught us both."
Byrne slid him up the wall until his boots were twitching half a meter off the floor. The barracks' fluorescent light seemed to dim, and Avery saw stars. He tried to kick himself free, but it was no use.
"You can't hide from that," Byrne sneered, "and you sure as hell can't hide from me."
Avery was about to pass out when he heard the metallic snap of someone working a pistol's slide.
"Staff Sergeant Byrne," Captain Ponder said firmly. "Stand down."
Byrne tightened his grip on Avery's throat.
"This is private business."
"Drop him, or I shoot."
"Bullshit."
"No, Marine." The captain's voice was deadly calm. "It most certainly is not."
Byrne released his hands. Avery dropped and slumped back against the wall. Gasping, he looked toward the barracks door. The captain held an M6 service pistol in a prosthetic replacement for his missing arm. Avery could see the bright titanium joints that were Ponder's fingers, and the carbon fiber weave of his forearm musculature.
"I know the numbers," Ponder said. 38 civilian casualties, 3 of your unit KIA. "But I also know Staff Sergeant Johnson is not in the stockade, nor was he charged with any misconduct, and as far as I'm concerned, that's all anyone needs to know."
Byrne tightened his fists, but left them at his sides.
"You're angry. I understand that. But this ends tonight."
Ponder shifted his gaze to Avery.
"You got anything else? Now's the time."
"Sir, no, sir."
Avery's voice was hoarse. Ponder's eyes snapped to Byrne.
"And you?"
Without a moment's pause, Byrne smashed a fist into the side of Avery's face. Avery dropped to a knee.
"That should do it,"
Byrne grunted. Avery spat a mouthful of blood onto the barracks floor. He hadn't run, but Byrne had followed. Gotten transferred away from Trebuchet, just like him. Avery knew something wasn't right, and that filled him with more anger than any sucker punch.
"Last chance, Johnson," Ponder said.
Avery rose and slugged Byrne hard enough to snap his head past his shoulder. One of Byrne's teeth skipped along the floor and came to rest near Healy. The corpsman had made his way forward from his bunk, hefting one of his boots like a club, apparently to try and break up the fight on his own.
"Jesus," the corpsman whispered, staring down at the tooth.
"We're finished," Ponder lowered his pistol. "That's an order."
"Yes, sir,"
Avery and Byrne said together. The captain gave each staff sergeant a final, emphatic glance, then marched down the barrack steps. The screen door banged shut behind him, creaked back on its hinges, and came to a rattling rest.
"I'm not rated for oral surgery,"
Healy said lamely in the silence that followed. He knelt and picked up Byrne's tooth.
"Doesn't matter. What's done is done."
Byrne locked Avery's wary stare. He sucked at the bloody hole of his missing canine.
"But this is so I don't forget."
With a slow rotation of his massive frame, Byrne followed Ponder into the night.
"I'm going to triage," Healy announced.
"Good,"
Avery replied, rubbing his jaw. The way he felt, the last thing he wanted was Healy keeping him awake with more conversation.
"To grab a med kit, then I'm coming right back."
Avery huffed as Healy walked past.
"You sure you still want to bunk with me?"
The corpsman paused in the doorway. For the first time, Avery recognized the soothing appeal of his near-perpetual grin.
"You're a piece of work, Johnson."
Healy jerked his chin at Byrne's fading footfalls.
"But that guy, he'd probably kill me in my sleep."